All right. There's a lot that I want to say about God's grace, and you're going to hear it throughout the message. We are nearing the end of this series on the I Am statements of Jesus. Who is the great I Am? Anybody? It's all right, church. Go ahead. You're in here. We're safe for now. Jesus? God? Holy Spirit? Cool. We got the Trinity covered. I know that people don't love this, but the I am not is you and me. Like, well, we don't have that all figured out, right? We have him figured out, sort of. We have the fact that we're not him figured out, sort of. You ever tried to be God? Yeah, we act like it sometimes. When we do our own thing, our own way, apart from what he said, we're proving we're the I am not. And he is always present. He's always good. He's never stopped being so. What Jesus says goes, and so that's what we're trying to focus on really hardcore throughout really the rest of the days of our lives. But right here, the day that we have, the I am is present. He is noun and verb. He is present. He is all the things that we've been hearing about. He's the bread of life. He's the light of the world. He's the good shepherd. He's the door. He's the resurrection and the life. You guys, for us, we have this desire to be important, to be valuable. I don't know if you heard Whitney praying, but she's like, what other people say about me isn't what goes. Easier said than done. We worry a ton about what people think, including our own opinion of our own selves. I hope today you're going to hear something that would really set you free to trust that Jesus is the great I am, and he is crazy about you. If you would, will you join me in John 13? Last week we talked about Lazarus, and what did Jesus interrupt for Lazarus? Somebody said rest? Good, fair. Death? Glory? Everybody's like, Jesus, why'd you do that? I mean, there's so many good things. I told you last week that a friend of mine and I were talking after the family get-together, which we call a family meeting or state of the church or whatever. But she said, you know, this is my journey. I'm on my faith journey. We're on a journey. He was on a journey, right? And it looked like his journey was over as far as this world was concerned. But Jesus straight up interrupted the funeral. And there's people upset with him that he didn't do it earlier. And we have this clock. Like, literally, I have a clock that's staring at me all the time. But we have this clock that we think, God, you should do it this way. Well, we're looking at right from the time where Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, the Jews that were in leadership decided, and they're called the Jews in the Bible. This is not some kind of derogatory term coming from me. This is the people who were in leadership. They wanted Jesus dead. And they're like, let's kill Lazarus again because people are tripping on how awesome Jesus is. And so Jesus' last week was pretty amazing. We're going to actually get into John 13, 31 through 35. Let me, as you are turning there or as you're going to turn your attention to the screen, Jesus gets anointed at Bethany by Mary. There's this plot that's being uncovered to kill him and Lazarus. He comes in to Jerusalem and everybody's screaming and yelling. We call that Palm Sunday. They're Hosanna, the Lord saves. It's this great victory cry. They don't even let his donkey, like his, what do they call it, hooves? Thank you. I was like, it's something. Feet, but not toes. Okay, anyways. Like, don't let those touch the ground. There's palm fronds and coats and all this. It's just majestic. And then he clears the temple. All kinds of different things happen, and it's not pretty. And then on Thursday, he has his Passover feast with his guys, and he washes their feet as the lowest servant would do. You guys, so much happened in all of that. He says, one of you is going to betray me. Is it me, Lord? Is it me, Lord? Is it me, Lord? Is it me, Lord? Then the one who's going to betray him says, is it me? And he's like, yep. And then his buddy Peter's like, I'll never betray you. Is that right, Pete? You're going to actually betray me three times. You're going to deny me three times. And we'll get into that a little bit. But after he does all those things and his one-time follower, now betrayer, Judas, takes off, this is where we're going to pick it up. John 13, 31 through 35. When Judas had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. Friends, the women are about to learn about some people in Jesus' bloodline, his family tree, including a bunch of women that weren't exactly who anybody would pick first and foremost. And he glorified himself through these broken people. Indeed, there's nobody else Jesus can use. But look at this right here, the very first thing we're looking at. He's getting betrayed. He knows he's going to death. And he goes, now the Son is glorified. Hey, what you think is the darkest, nastiest moments, God can use for glory. That's what we just celebrated. And come into the table. Be encouraged, my dear friends. There is nothing that you can do to separate yourself from the love of Christ if you are in Christ. That doesn't mean, hey, party it up. It means you've been set free, so live it up in him. If God's glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. That sounds like some Yoda stuff right there. Like, what? Look. If God's glorified in the Son, then the Son's going to be glorified in the Father. And it's not going to happen someday. It's happening right now. I am currently present. Little children, yet a little while and I'm with you. You will seek me. And just as I said to the Jews, so I now say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. That's not so new. It's been around since Deuteronomy. But this part is, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. So much more on that as you go through what Jesus said. So look for that in your reading. Look for that in your study. But look for that in your life. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. Verse 36. Simon Peter says to him, Lord, where are you going? He had already prophesied his death three times and his resurrection. Where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward. Peter says to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I'll lay down my life for you. Jesus answered, will you? Really? Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you've denied me three times. That's troubling. You guys, something super cool is going on here. I'd love to really unpack all of it, but he's at the Passover table. He's brought the wine out. He's about to talk about preparing a room for them. All of this would have a picture for his Jewish audience of proposal and marriage and the happily ever after that could only come from being married to the Most High God. It's an invite, you guys. He would have put the wine out. That would have been very familiar to them as this Passover feast and as this cup of resurrection, excuse me, of redemption. But it would also be a reminder to them that that was part of how a man would propose to a woman. He'd put the wine out on the table, and if she was into it, she was willing, she wanted to be married, she would drink from it. It's so cool. There's nothing greater than geeking out on how awesome God is. And I'm having a moment all to myself. Okay. Let's go to John 14. You're going to deny me, Pete. And then he just goes, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Or you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. Woo, this is such a great picture. They often could not build their own homes. They didn't have money like that. Some of us are that same way, and we've got some people on the failure to launch kind of thing where they just stay home and stay home. How do you know that your 20-plus-year-old son is living with you? Because he's still there. Right? But not for them. Here's what was happening for them. They had built a room, a house, off of the house, and it would keep going for generations. And he's like, look. Well, let me give you his words. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? Your husband loves you. He's taking care of you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself. Shout out to the resurrection that he is. That where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going. Thomas says to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus, Yeshua, the name that means God saves, says to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You guys, this is really powerful. I'm the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. No man gets to be in heaven, which is all at one time. Kingdom, home, place, city. This is all real that they would have known about. He says the Father. Look, now we give Thomas some grief. And it's like, we don't know where you're going. I really want to understand you, Jesus. He's about to the very next few hours be betrayed and arrested, mock trialed, and then killed. And Jesus is like, you do know the way, bro. It's me. It's always been me. Let me give you a thought here. When it comes to the way, you and I need it because without him, we're lost. When it comes to the truth, you and I need him because we're ignorant and we're liars apart from him. And now the life, here's the sad one. What we bring to the table for that is dead. Lost, lying, dead. We need the way, the truth, and the life. And he's like, I'm here. I'm for you. I bring you into heaven. I love it. This inheritance that he has for us is him. Being present with him. He's like, you've already been present with me. So let's unpack the way really quick. We got a little bit of time. I'm going to go the way, the truth, and the life, and I'm going to unpack it. Will you go to Acts 4:12 with me? You can keep your finger right there in John if you have your Bibles or whatever way you're working it out on a screen or on this screen. All kinds of really cool things are going on. Peter's preaching to the council of people that are telling him, you shouldn't be doing these things in the name of Jesus. And he's like, look, in verse 11, which you guys don't have on the screen, but maybe you read with me, this Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. You rejected the one. And there is salvation in no one else, verse 12. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. If you're trying to understand what it means that Jesus is the way, he is the way, the only way to the Father. He's the only way for salvation. He's the only way for true life. He's the only style of life we would be called to. And yet, we try to make all kinds of addendums, all kinds of adjustments, all kinds of opportunities to do it our way. You know what's really sad for me? I've been to so many different memorial services that at one point in the memorial service, they sing the song or have the song playing in the background. I did it my way. Wow. You did what your way? I get it. I mean, Frank can sing. He's dead. But I mean, right? But it's just like showing it off. I don't mind that we would be individuals. I love that. He made us different. You're all unique. Does that make us unique? We'll talk about that later. But it does mean that God is so creative that he made us our way. The way we would go about life on our own, though, is death. And he says he's the way. This comes from a long time ago that they talked about the way in the book of Genesis, but we'll get to that at the end of the message. But we are going to go to Isaiah 30, verse 21. What would these people understand the way to be? Well, he says, I am the way to the Father. That's it. Nobody else can go to him. Look, I don't know if you guys understand this about Crosswater, but we're called Crosswater. Because really for us to get from Monroe, where we were, most of us were at a church in Monroe, and we wanted to come and be a part of the community of faith and the community in this place, we had to cross a bridge to get here. And I thought, man, gosh, that's just really cool. Because any time in the Bible where water was being crossed, it took a miracle of God. We have this bridge, and then there was people that lived in the sticker bushes. And to be able to get to them, we had to cross another bridge. And we thought, man, we want to be a bridge to Jesus Christ. Because he's the only true bridge to the Father. That's it. I'm the way. But man, it's not like we came up with this. It's him. So again, we go all the way back to Isaiah 30, verse 21. And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. Lord, would you give us a hunger and thirst for your right way? Long ago, God taught me in my own life that I knew how to hear from him because I knew how to ignore him. We looked at that as men in Jonah. Jonah, it wasn't hearing God that was Jonah's problem. It was obeying God. That was Jonah's problem. But the way is God's truth, God's direction, God's word, God's law. I love that he pointed out that the law flat out just points out, like Patrick said, what's wrong. But Jesus, this law of grace and life, is life. More to this. Let's kick all the way to Acts 24. As you're turning to Acts 24, understand that throughout the book of Acts, at least three different places, the people that we would call Christians now, the first church, okay, the people who were following the Lord were called the way. Now, this guy that's quoting right now that he serves the way, back in Acts 9, was going to find people who were part of the way to stop them, to show that they're not the way. There's only one way, and it was, for them, a religious way, a rule-following way. A temple is the only place you can worship way. His name was Paul. But at that time, his name was Saul. But now, after he's come to Jesus, Jesus literally knocked him down with the light and said, "You are persecuting me, knock it off. This isn't the way." Now, some of you are thinking Mandalorian and all that. Man, the Mandalorian has nothing on this. This is real. That's some made up stuff. The way is Jesus. But this I confess to you, that according to the way, which they call a sect, I worship the God of our fathers, believing everything laid down by the law and written in the prophets. Because as we pointed out all last year, and really all of the life of Crosswater, the Bible is about Jesus. And he says, we follow him. We live in a world that wants many options. I want to follow God my way. I want to do things my way. Now, you have a lot of different options as far as worship, as far as teaching, as far as all that. But if you're really hearing the word of God, no matter what the music is like, no matter what the preacher looks like, sounds like, if the word is being preached, you will walk in the way if you obey Jesus. It's exclusive and inclusive. Let's move on. The truth. I think I've told you many, many, many times, but I'll say it one more time. There's only one absolute truth, and his name is Jesus. But one of his name tags would be truth. When we see the truth, we see Jesus. There's a ton of places I could look in this, but I'm going to stay all in the book of John. Please go back to John 8, 31 and 32. You might remember he's already had an I am statement in here, a couple of them, by the way. There's a ton of people that were believing in him. They're seeing some amazing stuff. And Jesus said to those that used to be part of the religious ruling crowd that were really skeptical about him, now they're actually believing him. For those who believed, he said, if you abide, if you live in my word, this is the way, by the way. Pun intended. You are truly my disciples. Somebody tell me what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. What do you think, bro? To trust in him. Amen. What else? A learner. What are you learning? Yeah, to follow him. What he says, right? You're going to be his follower in the way and the truth. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. He is the truth. Please go to John 16 really quick. This is also part of his Thursday night. He'd already washed the feet, told them a bunch of stuff, preached to them quite a bit. In John 16, 13 through 15. Oops. I went all the way to Acts because it's really exciting. 16, 13 through 15. When the Spirit of truth, who is that? Yeah, and it's the Holy Spirit, right? His Spirit, truth. When he comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me. For he will take what is mine and declare it to you. And all that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is a firm announcement of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's called the triune God or Trinity. You won't see Trinity in there. You won't see triune. You'll just see it all over the place. You just won't see those words. So he's saying, look, The more spirit you have, the more Jesus you have, the more truth you have. Do you know there's a ton of people that are super excited about the Holy Spirit of God and they leave Jesus' word out? They have something different they want to be able to add to it. Something additional, something new and fresh. There's nothing new and fresh more than Jesus. He is the I am, always present, always fresh, always there. He's the truth. There's no absolute truths, you will hear from many people, including those who call themselves Christians. There's no absolute truth. And in saying that statement, they don't believe their own statement. Because they just made an absolutely true statement to themselves. There's no absolute truth, except what you just said, apparently. Friends, Jesus is the absolute truth, one truth. And the more Holy Spirit that fills you up, the more Jesus, the more who he is, the more what he says, the more what he does. Finally, Jesus is praying just one chapter over. It's called the High Priestly Prayer in some of your translations. He's praying for them, and in John 17:17, he says, sanctify them, set them apart for your purpose in the truth. Your word is truth. We should ask all the questions that we need to about translations and all that, but God's word is the truth. And we're going to build our lives on that. More about that in a second. Finally, he said, I am the life. Remember, we need the way because we're lost. We need the truth because we're liars and deceived and there's ignorance in us. And we need the life because apart from him, we're dead. But this word he used isn't just like, man, you need to have yourself a life. Get a life. This word is zoe or zoe, and it's the source of life itself. I mean, seriously, we've turned on the electricity. It comes through these bulbs. The bulb isn't the light. That's where you see it. The light is the electricity. It's the source. Jesus is the source. He's not delusional. He's being straight up. I'm the way, the truth, the life. And we'll go again all the way back to the book of Genesis. We're going to go to Genesis 3:24, but while you're turning to that, I'm going to let you know that in Genesis 2, God does this really cool thing. He makes a minifig compared to him. If you don't know what a minifig is, it's a minifigure. He makes this person out of clay, and then he breathes the breath of life into him. That comes only from the source, Jesus. He breathes into him, said, this is life for you. Then Genesis 3:24, after this, these little image bearers, these little minifigs, decide they're going to do their thing their way. God had told them that'll lead you to death. God does something very gracious and kind of scary. He drove out the man, so man and woman, Adam and Eve. He drove them out. And at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim. Now, we are right next to Valentine's Day. And we hear that cherubs are these fat little cute babies that shoot little arrows. That is not what they look like in the Bible. It's cute, but it's inaccurate. The cherubim, multiple. So cherub is one. Cherubim is multiple. There's angels there with flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Why would he not want them to eat from the tree of life? They eat from that and they live forever. I thought he wanted them to live forever. Church, why would he do that? Why would he keep them from living forever? So we're not separated. Thanks, bro. That's the truth. They were separated. Do you remember, like, the story is that they had gone away from God and now death entered the scene. There was no repentance. There was no, we're following you, we're wrong, we're sorry. There was sacrifice by God, like giving them clothing because now they're naked and feeling shame. They were separated. He didn't want them separated forever, so he's like, you can't come this way. You're not getting this life that would be separated forever. Dear friends, we have plenty of family and friends in our lives that don't want Jesus. They want their way, their truth, their life. They will live forever apart from Jesus if that's what they want. And they would have been living that way too, but God's like, no, I'm going to give you a better chance than that. That's grace. And if you have a minute, thank him for it. So we'll go to Deuteronomy. We're going to talk about this life, this Zoe. The way is him. Any other way is going to be separation forever. But in Deuteronomy 30, 19 through 20, we get this little shout out to life that is such a great reminder. And you've heard me say it a couple of different times today. This is Moses. He's getting ready to pass on, literally getting ready to die. He says, I call heaven and earth. That's like this really cool statement, like everything. I call everything to witness against you today. That I've set before you life and death, blessing and curse. You can choose what you want. Therefore, choose life. That you and your offspring may live. Loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days. You may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give to them. God is our life. Please go all the way back to the New Testament, the New Covenant. Go to Colossians 3, verse 4. And you hear one more expression, one more description of life. When Christ, who is your life, your Zoe, the source of life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Then he goes on to say, put to death all the nasty things and live out all the good things. How do we do that? His spirit in you. You won't be able to help it. If you love God, you're going to love life. You're going to love truth. You're going to love that he's the way. But it's so stinking exclusive. Because you can't find it anywhere else. He's very kind in that way. He makes it very, very clear. One more time. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. So how do we move towards this way, truth, and life? Luke 6, 46 through 49, Jesus gives us a description of how we can move towards him. He gives us a prescription, if you will, of how we can move towards him. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Good night. In my own life and in your life, right this very second, this should be encouraging and probably convicting for some of you. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I'll show you what he's like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood rose and the stream broke against that house, it could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. And when the stream broke against it, it immediately fell. And the ruin of that house was great. I wish I didn't have in my mind what was happening in Turkey and Syria for some of these places that weren't well built. But I can't get it out of my mind. The destruction was great. You guys try, I try to build life anywhere else apart from God, it is going to fall apart. He's saying, build it on me. Do what I say. Some of you, to move closer to Jesus, you need to move away from the nastiness of your own way. You need to repent. And he'll take you right now. He loves you. But he won't leave you where you're at. Finally, how can we move closer to Jesus? Let's go back to what he said in Matthew 7. And we'll go 13 and 14. There's a whole lot more in Matthew 7 that I'd love to share with you, but I'm just going to give you verses 13 and 14. This is part of his Sermon on the Mount. Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Don't call me Lord if you're not going to do what I say. Don't say that you're my people if destruction is your appetite. But he does allow us to repent. You guys, I am not that hellfire and brimstone guy, and people get really disappointed when you bring up things that sound convicting, condemning, judgmental. What did Jesus say? What does he say about the way, the truth, and the life? He says, I am the only way, the only truth, and the only life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So how do you move towards Jesus? You come to him by his grace. You humble yourself, you submit, you obey, you walk it out, you live it out. Maybe you're like Thomas and you're asking the question like, I just don't really understand the way. I can tell you right now, the way is not living a lifestyle that says, I don't want God. Stay out. I want to have fun. I want to be loved. I don't want to be lonely. I don't want people to think I'm stupid. I don't want to think people think I'm judgmental. Yeah, Jesus is really exclusive, but I think anybody can go. Is that what he said about the wide road? That leads to life. Just do it. You do you. It'll feel real good. He says it's narrow, friends. Have you ever been called narrow-minded for believing in Jesus? You may not be doing it right if you're not getting called narrow-minded. I'm not saying you got to be a jerk and judgmental. But tell some people, look, following Jesus is it. There's no other life. Yeah, well, I'll figure that out. I pray you figure it out before you stop breathing. Because you can have a forever life apart from God or with him. But Jesus is the only way to be with God forever. Whatever you need to repent of, do. Whatever you need to keep following, even though it's hard, do. Whatever adjustments you need to make, you're not here to please everybody else. You're here to honor God. They didn't breathe life into your lungs. Jesus did. Look, so many kids downstairs that are ready to get picked up. So many things going on in my life, in your life today. And I really am not going to apologize for going longer. I'm going to say many of you are going to be willing to sit down for about 5 hours and watch a stinking football game. This should have been okay. Hopefully it's more than okay. Not what I say, but what he say. Let's pray. God, according to you, you're God and we're not. So I humble myself. I submit to you that these words of mine that are many will be no good if you don't plant them. I'm not trying to surround my words with your word. I'm trying to see your word, shout your word, and have my life look like I'm living it. But I can't do that on my own. But you said your spirit's going to be in me and guide me in truth and sanctify me. And you say that for all of your people. So may we bless you by loving you and obeying you, knowing that you're the way, the truth, and the life for us lost liars who are dead. But we're not dead anymore if we're in you. And so we get to live that out in a time, in a day, in an age where people say death is an option. Where people say that whatever you want to be, you can be. That's not what you say. And the big identity problem that we have in our world, Jesus, is that we identify as God. And we don't identify you as God. Or worse, we have identified you as God, but we live as if we are. Please forgive us. Please lead us. Please direct us. Please help us to know and to believe and to follow that you are the way, the truth, and the life. God, I love you so much. Thanks for loving us first. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, we have questions for you on the app. God bless you. Be strong and courageous. Let it be contagious. Tell people they're dying without it.